No good men among the living, America, the Taliban, and the war against Afghan eyes is a chronicle of the longest war in American history. As the troubled elections in Afghanistan grind on and U.S. troops prepare to finally withdraw from the country after more than a decade of fighting, journalist Anand Gopal tells the story of how the entire conflict could have been over almost as soon as it began and how the Americans resurrected their own enemies. Anand Gopal is a journalist covering Afghanistan, Egypt, Syria, and other international hotspots. He has served as an Afghanistan correspondent for the Wall Street Journal and the Christian Science Monitor, and has reported for Harper's, The Nation, The New Republic, and Foreign Policy. It's a pleasure to welcome him to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
When you look at this story, and it is such a stunning tale, where are we in the story? Because there really is almost at a point where we're sort of in the middle with a lot of question marks, aren't we?
We are, because the U.S. has been in Afghanistan for 13 or 14 years, and it's a question of how much longer that involvement is going to continue and what that involvement will look like.
What brought you to the country in the first place to cover it, and what challenges? I want to talk a little bit about the challenges that you have in covering Afghanistan and giving us a good picture of what is happening there.
Well, my interest in the country started actually back on 9/11. I was living down near the Twin Towers in Manhattan, and I saw the attacks and knew people who were killed. And so following that, I was very interested in trying to understand what this war is all about and what this country is all about. I ended up getting out there by 2008, spent a few years as a journalist. Landing there, one of the immediate challenges that I found was that it's very difficult to report in a country in which most of the country is inaccessible. You actually have to adapt quite a bit to be able to get access to the various sides.
In the book, you talk about how it was very quick after U.S. forces invaded the country. It was very quick when the Taliban ceased to exist. So at what point was there no turnaround, and why do you think that was the case?
Well, the U.S. invaded in October of 2001, and within 2 months, the Taliban had ceased to exist. They were not a very popular movement to begin with. They were quite repressive. And under the weight of pretty overwhelming U.S. firepower, you had pretty much the whole Taliban, from rank-and-file soldiers to the leadership, trying to switch sides, declaring the support for the U.S. or declaring the support for the Karzai government. The reason they did this is not because all of a sudden they were pro-American. It's actually because if you look at Afghan history, which a country that's been at war for over 30 years, this is what's happened time and again. When the Soviets left Afghanistan in 1989, a lot of the Afghan communists switched sides and joined the Islamists. So this is sort of another iteration of that same history. The Taliban switched sides and surrendered, and so there was really no enemy left to fight in Afghanistan in 2002.
So why do we keep fighting? Why did we keep fighting?
We were there under the premise that we were fighting a war on terror, which means, if you remember in the words of President Bush, that you're either with us or against us. So, you know, that means that the world is divided into two camps, the terrorists and the non-terrorists, which is all well and good, except that when the terrorists all of a sudden switch sides to the non-terrorist camp, you know, that complicates things. So what ended up happening is we had tens of thousands of soldiers on the ground, ready to wage this war on terror without an enemy to fight. And so we ended up allying with all sorts of warlords and power brokers and got false intelligence or bad intelligence from them. And in that process ended up killing a lot of the wrong people.
You tell your story through three Afghans, in particular through the years of the U.S. And their occupation. Give us a sense of those three Afghanis and why you chose them.
The first person you'd meet in the book is somebody named Mullah Cable. He's a Taliban commander. So he fought against the U.S. As an insurgent fighter for many years. The second is somebody who's a politician, an Afghan politician or warlord, who is a close ally of the U.S. And the third is a housewife. Her name is Hila, who fled the city of Kabul to the countryside. And I was interested in those three because they each speak to the sort of categories that we tend to think about when we think about Afghanistan, which is, you know, the bad guys, the good guys, and the civilians. And each of these three, at the face of it, seem to conform to those categories. But what I learned from reporting their stories out is that it's actually much more complicated.
And it seems in that reporting that there's just an ongoing agony.
Well, yeah. I mean, this is, like I said, this is a country that I guess by this year, Afghanistan's been at war for 35 years. It's had so many different factions that have come to power. There's been two major foreign powers that have been involved. There's been a massive civil war. And so because of that agony, you know, it's not about, for Afghans, it's not necessarily about Taliban or anti-Taliban. It's really just about survival. And so people will do whatever they can and make all sorts of choices just to survive.
So it's very hard to identify what we have done right and what we have done wrong. I guess the wrong is easier to identify.
Yeah, I think one of the main things we did wrong is not recognize this reality of Afghanistan and
right.
its agony. Instead, you know, thinking that it comes neatly packaged into good guys and bad guys,
and that it isn't that simple. That we can't just simply limit it to that.
No, because, you know, in the first 2 years after the U.S. invasion, pretty much every single person that the U.S. killed or arrested were people who were actually pro-American. And that was all a result of this flawed idea and of flawed intelligence.
So as troops get ready to withdraw, where are we in the sense of a rebuilding and a sense that Afghanis will be able to have a better sense of right and wrong, of what is good and bad for the country?
The thing is that for Afghans, what's good for the country, I think Afghans are very clear on what they want for the country, which is they want no more fighting, they want no more gunmen or warlords, they want no more Taliban, you know, they want peace. Getting to that, I think, is really challenging. It's complicated because the Taliban insurgency is entrenched in the countryside, because the paramilitaries and warlords that the U.S. are supporting are also entrenched, and because the Afghan government is extremely weak. So there doesn't seem to be a clear path or route to getting to that one outcome that all Afghans want, which is peace.
So how do we reach that outcome? I mean, is there a path?
I think to start with, we need to critically examine our role in perpetuating some of the conflict, and that's what my book seeks to do. So, for example, that means, you know, we need to stop supporting malign actors or people who have human rights records that are just as poor as the Taliban in the name of security. You know, the reason we support these warlords in the South is because they do fight Taliban and they fight them very well. But in the process of that, these same people also commit very grave human rights violations that, all, you know, which is bad in and of itself, but it also lays the groundwork for future Taliban, you know? And so we need to get out of that mode of thinking where, you know, the only solution to Taliban is through more war. We need to pursue other alternatives, which include negotiated settlements, which include not funding warlords.
And what about troops? Should troops stay longer?
You know, this is the longest war in American history. We've been there for now 13 years, and the troops have failed to quell the insurgency. So I don't see how the continued presence of troops will give us an outcome that's any different than that which we've seen for the last decade.
And with withdrawal, that does not come greater violence, you don't think?
If we withdraw and we cut off the funding to the Afghan state, that actually does run the risk for a civil war, because the government of Afghanistan and all the various warlords and paramilitaries exist only because we are paying for them. So, you know, we need to pull the troops out, and we need to shift the funding away from all of these warlords to the central state so that the government has the ability to stand on its own 2 feet. And I think that's the best hope to avoiding a civil war type scenario.
With the most recent election, and this may be difficult, but with the most recent election, where does your optimism lie?
Well, you know, with Afghanistan, there's always the question of bloodshed. And the fact that there's going to be what looks to be a peaceful transition of power from Hamid Karzai to whomever is elected, you know, that is a reason for optimism. You know, that's the fact that we can have this without some faction who didn't get a chance to who didn't have a chance to win this election, that they're not taking up arms. I think that's a reason for optimism.
The name of the book is No Good Men Among the Living, America, the Taliban, and the War Through Afghan Eyes. It is published by Metropolitan Books. And Anand Gopal, I thank you very much for being with us and sharing your story with us.
Thanks for having me.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.